verses today. Little background. My name's Paul Rott, and I grew up in this city. No, I'm playing. It's already started. So now look. Okay, so Jesus Christ is doing the ministry thing. This lawyer, or what we would call a scribe, one of the kind of gatekeepers of scripture back in the day, comes up to Jesus, wants to trap Jesus in this conversation, wants to make Jesus look stupid, and the scribe wants to walk away looking better and feeling better about himself. That never works out. Over and over again, we see that with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, people, you know, try and trap Jesus up in his own words. Never works out, man. Anyways, moving forward, the scribe wants to trap Jesus. And so he says, "Teacher, what do I have to do to get eternal life?" That's a fair question, right? Jesus, and I'm going to be paraphrasing here. Jesus says, "Well, you're a scribe. You're a religious lawyer." And see, these scribes, they were like students of the Mosaic Law. So if anybody knew scripture, it'd be one of these guys. So Jesus is like, "You know the scripture just as well as anybody. What do you see when you read it?" And the scribe says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "Well, how's that working out for you? How are you doing that?" And the scribe says, "Well, who is my neighbor?" That's what we're talking about today. Who is my neighbor? Luke 10:29. Well, this is the scribe talking. We're jumping into the scribe's conversation. "But he," the scribe, "desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him in to an inn and took care of him." That's our text. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing this morning. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is so welcome, and we need you. We are nothing without you. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, and what needs to be said will be said, and we will receive it with open arms and open hearts and open ears, Lord. Thank you for your unity in this house, that this is a church, this is a group of people that love you and love one another. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in church said, give the Lord some praise. So here's the story. Jesus sees a teaching opportunity right here with this guy and whoever happens to be around this conversation. Jesus seizing on this opportunity, doing what he always does, says, "Let me share a little story with you." Tells the story that we just read. Guy was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, which was about a 17-mile journey. From Jerusalem to Jericho, that would be going downhill or down a mountain. Remember, Jerusalem is that city on a mountain. So as this guy is traveling to Jericho, it'd be kind of steep. Now this road in between Jerusalem and Jericho was called the Bloody Way or the Bloody Road, because it was known to have a lot of robbers and bandits on it. There's a lot of curves and stuff, so a lot of big boulders, a lot of good places for bandits to hide out. So the hearers of this story would be like, yeah, that's a treacherous stretch of road there. Anyways, guy's making his journey. Some robbers jump out, strip him, beat him, leave him for dead, leave him half dead. Priest comes down the road, walking by, doesn't go to try and help the guy at all, but goes to the other side of the road and keeps going. A little while later, a Levite comes down the road. Same thing. Sees that guy lying there, steps on the other side of the road, keeps going. And then we have a Samaritan comes up the road. The Samaritan sees the guy and he tends to his needs. Luke 10, 29 and 30. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Verse 30, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead." Before we go any further, when I was studying this, verse 30 kind of jumped out at me. I always look through the verses and I want to be still and let God talk to me about, you know, what do you want to show me in this, God? What's going on here? What do I need to share with the people? We're talking today about who is my neighbor, and we're going to get to that. But right here at verse 30, it says, this guy, the robbers fell on him and beat him down, man, stripped him naked, beat him. He was half dead, so badly beaten that when the priest and the Levite go by, they're thinking, oh, that dude's probably dead. I want to talk about that guy beaten for a second. Because I get it, man. Sometimes we can feel like this guy, man, that has just been beat up, man. We have just been through it. Or sometimes by the time we get here on Sunday, we are just running low on energy. We have really went through it. And we need God to speak to us. We need God's people to encourage us. And so we come to this place because iron sharpens iron, and we want to be with our brothers and sisters. So I want to share this with you. If you feel like this guy that was beaten and stripped and left for dead, you've just been going through it. Okay, God cares about that, number one. God cares about that. So give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. So I want to read 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. So we're jumping back. We're going to the Old Testament now. But we're talking about this guy that is beaten and bruised and laying left for dead. All right? Some of us get like that sometimes. We feel like that sometimes, man. And if you don't, you know you have. And if you don't, you're going to go through some pretty tough situations. Can I get a witness? So here in 1 Samuel, I'm going to talk a little bit about King David, way before he was a king. Okay, so in this particular situation that David's in, the king of Israel is sparing no expense trying to capture David. He wants to kill David. He hates David. God's hand is on David. King Saul can't stand David. Okay, so David is hiding out, and this pursuit has gotten so crazy and so hectic that David says, you know what? I'm gonna go to the Philistine country, which was the natural enemies of the Israelites. He's like, I got no safe place around here, man. People could rat me out. I'm going to the Philistine country. David was famous, man, not just famous in Israel, but he was famous in Philistia. He was the guy that killed Goliath. Anyways, we're not going to get into that, but David has this group of folks that have kind of flocked to him. Other Israelites that were malcontents or discontented with the taxes, or they didn't like King Saul either. They're being persecuted by Saul or whatever. So David had a large group of people that have kind of already flocked to him. Now David is the chief of these guys. So he goes to Philistine country. He brings all these guys with him. And so David and his men are caught up and some stuff, so they leave. This army that David has kind of put together leaves the city of Ziklag, which is where David's wife's children are, and all this impromptu army that David has raised. They got their wives, their kids, all their belongings there as well at Ziklag, however you say that. Well, David and his people are gone, man. But when they come back to where they're residing, to Ziklag, the Amalekites, another group of folks that hated Israelites, the Amalekites come in and do this raid on this city where David's been living. So when he gets back, the city's burnt. It's a bunch of rubble. Now here's the deal, man. David's wives, his kids, they're gone, man. Everybody else's wives and kids and belongings are gone too. So David's in a pickle. He's no stranger to being in tough situations. But here he is, and these guys that were looking up to him for leadership, these guys that were following David, when they get back, oh man, they got to blame somebody. So they're all of a sudden, they're starting to blame David for this, for the fact that their wives and kids and everything's been stolen. Now, nobody's dead. They've all been just taken away, held hostage, held captive. They don't know that, man. They want to stone David. They want to kill David. So David has nobody. Listen to me. David has nobody, no confidant. He can't go talk to his old lady and say, babe, I'm really going through it. The guys are not having a good day because she done got captured. He's got nobody to talk to except the most important person. He's got the Most High God. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. That's a bad day at the office. For the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. Listen, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So we might feel like that guy on the Jericho road that's beaten and bruised and left for dead. David shows us something. He had nowhere to turn. He was in enemy territory. And his guys didn't like him. They were ready to stone him. But he says, he strengthened himself in the Lord. The King James says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that look like? That means I'm hurting. I'm hurting, dude. I haven't had a good day in a while. Man, I'm just going through it. But I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. I'm going to get my eyes off of my pain and my torment and focus on the goodness of my God. Can I get a witness? Okay. Yeah, give the Lord some praise. So Psalm 121, verse 2. Listen to what the psalmist says. My help, King David's help, Paul's help, Sister Claudia's help, Sister Chelsea's help. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Well, is he big enough, Paul? Can he handle what you're going through? My help comes from the Lord because he made heaven and earth. That's our God. That's who we serve. That's who we belong to. That's who sent his son to die for us so our sins can be forgiven, so we can enjoy eternal life and grow in relationship with the creator of the universe for all eternity. And he says, here now, when you're in the middle of the storm, you're in the middle of your trial, reach out to me. Encourage yourself in the Lord, because his resume says that this God that we serve, not some fake God, not some idol, not some weird philosophy, but we serve a living God who created heaven and earth. And if he can hold this together, and he does, it's all perfect, all right? He's holding all this together. Then he says, here's Zach's life. Here's Scott's life. And I love them both immensely, and I'm holding them together. I'm going to take care of them. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Isaiah 40 and verse 29, coming to you out of the NIV. He gives strength. I'm just trying to encourage people that are in the middle of the storm right now, okay? We're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord. He gives strength. Who gives strength? My God gives strength. When I feel like I'm just so confused, I'm frustrated, I'm hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, I'm just a mess. The newsman is freaking me out. I don't know who's telling the truth and who's not. Well, I'll tell you, they're not, but I get it. Never mind. This is my God. He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's my God. He's not just concerned with my eternal salvation. He says, I want you to have joy of the Lord. I want you to have joy and peace right now when the doctor is saying this, when the bill collector is saying this, when your body is saying this. He says, let me give you strength. He says, don't get too crazy in your head and thinking too far ahead. Don't let what a maybe might happen in the future destroy your peace and productivity right here and right now. He says, take it one day at a time, and I will get you through this day and I'll get you through the next. Can I get a witness? That means like, praise the Lord. But that's what I get used to. So let's go to the next slide. But I wanted to camp on that for a minute, man, because sometimes that's the word we need. Sometimes that we need that encouragement. When I come to church and I want everything that God has for me, but God says, look, I don't want you to leave here with just a bunch of head knowledge or knowing a little bit more about a Bible story, but I want you to know that I'm a living God that saved your soul, and I love you, and I'm going to get you through this. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 10:30-31. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So we got a priest here. This guy on the outside would certainly look like a godly individual. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, even though we know the story. This guy loved the Lord. Let's just say he loved the Lord. But this is what the guy does. Okay, so here's the deal. This priest was probably on his way to Jerusalem to do his 2 weeks at the temple. It's probably what he was going to go do. Either way, he doesn't know if this guy is dead or alive. And if he stops to help him and he's alive, but if he dies while he's there with him and touching him, well, then he just touched a dead body. If he goes over there and says, hey, buddy, you okay? And he's dead, well, then just touched a dead body. Well, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Well, look, Numbers 19 and verse 11. This is the law right here, okay? Whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean 7 days. So this dude, if he goes and touches that guy and he dies or is dead, okay, he's ceremonially unclean for 7 days, and he's got to go purify himself. So that's going to mess up what he has to do at the temple. You see, sometimes, man, we get like that, dude. It's like, I'd like to help this person out, but man, I got things I got to do today. My agenda is slammed full. But then we see a need. You know, sometimes God will put a need right in front of you to say, hey, we got a little change of plans for today. You know, it's about his plans, his will, not mine. Amen. Even if we think we're serving the Lord and we're trying to do the right thing, like this priest is like, well, it's more important that I get to the temple and do the thing, and the people are going to want to do this and that. I need to get going. I can't get unclean. Can I get a witness? But either way, there's a human being that's either dead or dying on the side of the road. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to get anywhere near that dude in case he reaches out for me and grabs me or something. You know, I'm just going to step over here because I ain't got time for that. And he keeps going. Probably wasn't too long. It was the back of his mind. You know what I mean? He's at work later on that day. He's like, you know, I saw the weirdest thing on the Jericho Road. That's a dangerous road. Well, but look at Philippians 2. This is our marching orders. Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Look at, I'm going to read this in the NLT, same verse in the NLT, New Living Translation. This is what God is saying. This is what Paul is saying to the Philippian believers. This is what God is saying to me and you. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. That's what the scribe was trying to do when he cornered Jesus, or tried to corner Jesus. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Jesus just told us to put others above ourselves, man, to think about other people. We look at this priest who sure looked the part, and let's just give him the benefit of the doubt that this dude loved the Lord, man. But he's like, man, my responsibilities are more important than checking on that guy. Is that true? That's a human being right there. You know what I mean? Moving forward, Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let each of you, this is us, man, this is Bible-believing Christians. Let each of you not only, let each of you look not only to his own interests, don't just think about yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's what Jesus tells us to do. It's not just about you and your little corner of the world. But he asks us, who's your neighbor, man? Jesus says, who's your neighbor? That's what the scribe said, trying to get out of it. He's like, well, who really is my neighbor? Because my neighbor has to think politically just like me. My neighbor has to have the exact same skin color as me, same financial situation as me. That's all doo-doo. Amen? He said doo-doo. Can't believe. Let's go to the next slide. But it's true. It's true. Luke 10, 31 and 32. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, we got another religious cat coming down the road, a Levite. So Levites, they led in all types of worship at the temple, you know, and they kept the temple grounds. Same situation for any Hebrew, really. They could not touch a dead body. But here's the picture. Here's another guy that on the outside looks like he would have a spiritual relationship with the Lord. And hopefully he does have a genuine relationship with the Lord. But either way, the same thing with this Levite. He was just too busy to worry about this guy that was beaten and dying on the Jericho Road. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Well, look at what 1 John says, 1 John 3, verse 18. Do we have that? We do have that. 1 John 3, verse 18. It's what John says, John the disciple, little children. I like how John writes. Very, very sweet, very loving as John talks to other believers. He's calling us little children, or God is calling us little children. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Think about that. Dude's dying on the road, man. And this Levite probably talks a good talk. The priest probably talks a good talk. And they probably even mean it. You know, love your neighbor. They probably mean it. But then when the rubber meets the road, right? Well, man, I got to be in Jerusalem like yesterday, dude. I do not have time to deal with this dude because it ain't just giving him a little bit of water and maybe a cracker. That guy's beaten up bad. He could die on me. Then I couldn't go perform my duties at the temple. But even if he doesn't die on me, this ain't a 5-minute thing that I'm back on the road again. This dude is bad off. Like, I'm too busy for that. Can't be bothered with that. I got other responsibilities. I got to go to work. Then I got to do this. Little children, let us not love in word or talk. Don't just mouth it. Don't just say it. But indeed, and in truth, indeed, it's like what James says. Faith without works is dead. You can say you love Jesus and his creation and his children all day long. But by the fruit, we're going to be bearing some good fruit. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? I'm going to be about my Father's business. So John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, if you love God, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, then go out there and be obedient to me. Bear some fruit because God loves that guy that's dying on the Jericho Road just as much as he loves the priest and the Levite. The priest and the Levite are going to get the good seats. They're going to get, everybody's going to pat them on the back. Like, oh man, you look so, I mean, you're just so cool. You work at, man, that's awesome, man. You got a good relationship with God. Would you pray for my dog? He ain't feeling good. You know, whatever. But here's a dude, man, that is dying. I'm just walking by. What's wrong with that picture, man? I'll tell you something. Man, I've been going through like this change, like where God has just really been speaking to me. The Charlie Kirk thing. And then days before that, a couple of days before that, there was that little girl, that young lady that was from Ukraine that was over here. Sorry to bring it up again, man, but it's been speaking to me, dude. You know, this young lady was over here from the Ukraine fleeing a war to have a better life over here as a refugee. She gets on the public transit there in what city was it? Charlotte, North Carolina. She gets on the public transit. Well, here's the thing, man. You all, if you don't want to hear it, cover your ears. That's fine. I want to speak truth to our family right here. Here's this lady, man. The guy behind her stabs her in the neck like so fast. Stabs, and she's dead within like 2 minutes. So much fear was in her face, man. And when she got stabbed, she was so confused. She's like, did that just happen to me? Because the dude came up from behind her. And she just looked, she was immediately terrified of the guy that was lurching over her. Then she looked around. Does anybody care? Is anybody, the whole thing is a mess and just disturbs me so bad. But what breaks my stinking heart, man, is she looks around. Nobody helped her. Nobody did nothing. You know, I'm sure that was all great people. I'm sure they're all good folks. They're on the way home from work, whatever. I don't know. But you know, I'm like, no, I have not been in that situation. So I'm not speaking from experience, but I'm speaking from a human being's point of view. I'm speaking from a father's point of view. When I see that little girl and then she falls over dead, she's just suffering, man. And it's a car full of people, a train full of people. But I know for a fact, because I saw the video, and I wish I hadn't, but I was watching this news source, and there it is. I didn't know they were going to show all that. But there's at least five people that seen the whole thing happen. I know it was a shock. There's at least two men there. They didn't do nothing. They just sat there, kind of looking around, like, is this really happening? Two men didn't do nothing. Three women didn't do nothing. Here's this lady. I'm not boring you, but it's really affected me. You know, these ladies, nobody went and cradled her head. No one held her hand. No one tried to do first aid. And it was already too late for her, but in the natural, there was nobody there for her there at the end, you know, when there could have been. Hold her hand, something like that. So it's really got to me. You know, I'm not saying those people that didn't do anything are bad people. I'm not saying that. I don't know those people. What I'm saying is that's the world we live in. As we get farther and farther away from Jesus Christ, we're going to see more and more crazy stuff like that. You know, that's the world we live in. But as Christian people, what are we going to do about it? What are we, when we see a need, what are we going to do about it? You know, there's something we can do, man. You know what I mean? Show the love of Jesus. Be there for one another, even if they look different than you. Even if you got nothing in common with them other than the fact you're on the same transit system. Can I get a witness? We're all made in God's image. Anyways, moving forward, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth, indeed in action. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. There it is again. Think about other people. Put other people before you. What? That is completely contrary to how we are hardwired, man. But see, we are a new creation in Christ. We're not that same person anymore. So yeah, we live in this flesh and we all could be selfish. But God says, you need to reckon the old man dead. You need to squash that junk. You need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And we need to learn to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and hear the Holy Spirit. So when I'm walking down the Jericho Road, does God want me to stop? He probably does. Amen. What about me? What about my needs, man? Matthew 6:33. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Look at that. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Who is in your world? Who is in the corner of your world wherever you find yourself? Well, no, they got to go to the same church. No, they don't. Will they need to be a Christian? At least, no, they don't. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And then look at Matthew 6:33. Because how can I worry about somebody else when I got all this on my plate? Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. What's that mean, man? That means if I'm about God's business, if I'm obedient to him, guess what? He's gonna take care of me, right? So you ain't got to worry about nothing, man. Just serve God. Just serve God, you know? And he says, look, if you put me first, if you're about my business, I'll make sure you're taken care of. Don't worry. And I've seen it over and over and over again. God is a good God. Let's go to the next slide. Give the Lord some praise. Two religious fancy boys walk down the Jericho Road. Don't stop, go on the other side. They won't touch the guy. They don't want to get involved in it. Now, the natural way the story should have went, as Jesus is telling the story, the people would have probably thought, well, I don't know exactly what they thought he was going to say the next person was going to be, but I guarantee you they did not expect him to say a Samaritan. Talking about racism, man. Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Jews and Samaritans hated each other, man. Just bad blood. So, back in the Old Testament, Assyria invades the northern part of Israel. Assyria conquers the northern part of Israel. Now, one of the things that Assyria would do when they would conquer a nation is they would transplant the residents of that country. They would pick up the occupants of that country and move them to another country that they have already conquered. And then they would bring in people from other countries that they conquered and bring them into your country. So that takes away the home field advantage for any revolts or guerrilla warfare or whatever. Kind of you're out of your element. It's just, it worked really, really good for the Assyrians. Other nations did it as well. So now in the northern part of Israel, what you have is people from other countries, Gentiles. And these Gentiles begin to intermarry with the Jews that were still there. So then you got a mixed breed of people. You got an impure race as far as what the Hebrews thought, as far as the Hebrews said. These guys aren't pure Jews anymore. There's a lot of hatred between one another. So the Samaritans, called Samaritans because it was around Samaria, the Samaritans started worshiping their own way, had their own temple on their own mountain. They just hated each other more and more and more as the days went by. They couldn't stand each other. But now Jesus, when the scribe says, well, who's my neighbor? Okay, well, you're a scribe. So I know you got some affection for the priests. Everybody looks up to the priests. The Levites, so important, such godly folks. See them around the temple all day long, doing the thing, doing the sacrifices, worshiping and all that. But here's a Samaritan. I mean, they hated Samaritan. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, came to where this guy that was dying, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. That goes against everything right there, man, that we would think. It's like, this is the guy I'm supposed to hate. And he's supposed to hate me? But when he sees me, and I'm different than him, we got a different way of worshiping. We don't like each other, okay? But when he sees me, he has compassion on me. Priest didn't. Levite didn't. But the Samaritan did. And so, this is a big deal, man. And it says compassion. He had compassion for him. Same type of compassion that Jesus Christ had for me and you. Same thing. And so, Jesus Christ is my template. He is what we follow. Amen. We are Christians. Can I get a witness? This Samaritan is walking the walk way more genuinely than the fancy religious folks. You see what I'm saying here? We got to make sure that we're not just like the fancy religious folks that like to look down on people or talk down on people because they sin differently than we sin. Can I get a witness? Galatians 3:28. Next slide. No, we're here. I'm sorry. Galatians 3:28. I got to get these monitors turned back on. The cleaning lady spilled bleach all over them and they don't work. That's a complete fabrication. I don't even know why I said that. But they are turned off. I don't know. I don't know why I do that. Galatians 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew. This is what God says. This is how I want you to look at people, Paul. This is how I want you to look at people. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's only two types of people in the Hebrews world, man. Jew or Greek, or Jew or Gentile. And then the special hatred for the Samaritans. Okay, but this is what God said. There's neither Jew nor Greek, or neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He says we're all one in Christ Jesus. We all belong to the same God. You're not bigger or better or more important than me. We're all on the same level. Amen? And God says, look, that's how I want my people to start looking at things. Not how different someone is, right? Amen? Tell the truth, shame the devil. And, you know, something interesting. So we got these characters in this story that Jesus is telling. Jesus is talking to the scribe. But in the story he's telling, we got the Jewish guy that's beaten on the road. We got the priest and the Levite, and we got the Samaritan. But we also have the robbers. We got these guys, this group of folks that did this heinous, evil act. What about them? Are they my neighbor? Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, I'm not just talking about someone that's different than me. Worship's different than me. Sin's different to me. I'm talking about somebody that does not wish me well, doesn't like me, hates me, maybe even cause me physical torment, mental anguish. But I say to you, this is Jesus, but I say to you, love your enemies. What? Love your enemies? How is that even possible? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You cannot genuinely love your enemy if you do not love Jesus Christ. You might be able to do some sort of superficial something on the surface business, but you are not going to love the person that killed somebody you love unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is, he's not saying, think about this. Chew it over a little bit. This is what he says. This is what Jesus Christ says. But I say to you, not grandma, but this is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, my Savior says, but I say to you, love your enemies. But God, he's made my life. She's made my life. So love your enemies and pray for those who persecute. You know how you're going to love your enemy? Praying for them. Yep. That's what Jesus says. So we got these robbers. They don't ever get no time. No one ever talks about the robbers. Well, look, Jesus says, well, what about these robbers, man? Someone's got to pray for them. Someone's got to show them the love of Jesus, man, even though you completely disagree with their behavior, right? That's like Charlie Kirk, man, you know? I'm telling you, man, all these recent events, man, the Lord's really been speaking to me through this. Look, this is not a political statement right here. And I'm not saying you agree with his politics. I'm not saying you don't agree with his politics. But I'm saying this is your Christian brother. Okay, that's not debatable. Okay, let's say this. This dude would go to college campuses. I'm talking about Charlie Kirk, but I didn't say that. This dude would go into college campuses. These are not hotbeds or havens for Christianity nowadays. So he would go into, say, enemy territory in the spiritual sense, and he would engage in debate. Anybody could come up and ask the guy whatever, you know? But I'll tell you this, man, no matter what your personal opinions are about the guy, is that dude loved Jesus? And he felt there was a need. He saw the youth of America going in an anti-Jesus, anti-God direction. And he said, here I am, send me. When he saw the need, he said, I'm going to do it. And he stepped out and he did it. And he paid the ultimate price for it. You know, he's a martyr. You know, he was serving Jesus Christ. So I'm just saying that, you know, like seeing those people on the transit system and all this, it's like, what's wrong with us, man? What nobody could do nothing? You know? Let it not be so for us, amen? You know, we are servants of the Most High God. So if we see a need, we need to do what we can. Proverbs 11:25. Talking about this Samaritan. Well, let me read Luke 10:34. He went, this is a Samaritan. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on the oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal. Look what a guy, look what he did. He applies first aid, covers up his wounds, man. Puts the oil on him, gives him some wine. It's like for the pain, man. Gives him the oil and the wine. Puts him on his own animal. Talking about stepping out of your comfort zone. Have you ever thought about this? Here is a Samaritan with a Jew that is almost dead on the Samaritan's animal, pulling him into town. That's not going to look good. You know what I mean? They're already going to hate you the moment you come into town. You dig? You know what I'm saying? And he's got this guy, but he's like, you know what? That doesn't matter. Because that's another human, and I'm a human. We're made in the image of God, and I'm a child of the Most High God, okay? And God, let me see this. God put me in this direction where I see this need, and I'm going to man up and do what I got to do. Can I get a witness? Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. That's a true statement, by the way. You cannot outgive God. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others are obeying God. But also this, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You might be the one on the Jericho Road one day. You know, like I said, I really try not use myself as the good example in anything. Because you might see me at Taco Bell tomorrow getting arrested or something. Yeah, I thought they were all for me. No. I thought it was a gift. No, never mind. Forget all that. I'm sorry. But what are we talking about? Generous, being generous. Yeah, you know what? I don't even remember. See, I messed it up. Ellen, I messed it up. What are you going to do? All right, maybe it'll come back to me or maybe we'll just close. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. What I try and do when I see somebody stranded on the side of the road or something, man, this is what, you know, broke my heart so much about that young lady that got brutally murdered up in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm a dad, man. I'm a dad. And I got daughters. I'm a son. I got a mama. I'm a husband. I got a wife. So when I see somebody, man, that I ain't really got no connection to, I try and remind myself that somebody's mama, that somebody's daughter, that somebody's son, right? That's a human being in need. And God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I certainly love God. So am I too busy to deal with it? And it might be completely out of the question, man. But you know what? Just don't dismiss it. You can pray. We should at least pray. But if we can do something, we need to do something. Because that's showing people the love of Jesus in a world that is getting increasingly more violent and wicked and evil. We show them Jesus through our actions. Can I get a witness? Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be a follower of Jesus Christ, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. That's what we've been talking about that all morning long. Think about others. It's not just about you. Amen. You be about God's business, he's going to be about your business. But he says, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have got to get to the place where you deny yourself and think about others. Amen? Not that we don't, man, because this church right here, I mean, we got some good Christian folk. But it's like the Apostle Paul, when he was talking to, it was in one of his letters, he said, basically he's saying, keep doing what you're doing. Do it more. I'm just saying, don't turn a blind eye, man. You know, we got to make a difference in our world. We got to do what we can do.